there, folks. I'm Emily.
And I'm Elle. And we are coming to you live from our mother's basement with the Oh My Word podcast, which is a podcast that reviews and promotes and explores clean and age-appropriate entertainment, books, movies, musicals, etc. Not only the stuff that is specifically age-appropriate, but to tell you about all the stuff that's out there and what it's all about, plot-wise, message-wise, content-wise, and you can figure it out for yourself if that's right for you. Even though we do have our pearl clutching rating, because that's what we do when we come across these things. We clutch our pearls over violence, language, romance on a 0 to 4 scale, 0 being the least. So here we aim for 0 and 4 being the most, which is totally not appropriate. Don't go there as far as we're concerned.
You know what I've been thinking? We have these pearl clutching scales. We don't really have a good set of pearls. To really get into the pearl clutching, we have fake pearls, which is better because when you break it, it doesn't cost as much. But I feel like breaking a string of pearls would be more meaningful if it was real. So I'm thinking of taking a trip to the beach, maybe hacking open some oysters and making a pearl necklace. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that.
You could go, but it's got to be a private beach where no one can find you. And that was a totally different direction that I was going to go in. Because I was going to say that means we need sponsors.
You know what? Good point. Much safer than going to the beach because the bunker is safe.
Yeah, and you never know if your feet are going to get cut when you try to go into the tide pools.
That's true. Also, sandy feet, like sand between your toes. You know, a lot of songs talk about going to the beach and getting the sand between your toes. Why? That's an awful feeling. I don't want that.
Well, some people like it. But you know what? Trying to wash it off is like trying to wash glitter off. Like, you cannot get rid of it.
Never. It's everywhere.
It sticks.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. And then ends up all over the floors and everything's just crazy.
You're right. If you're interested in sponsoring Oh My Word, you can reach out to us on Instagram at Oh My Word Podcast.
Follow us there anyways to see what we're up to.
Yeah. We always post about our most recent episode. We share the ratings from each episode. We let you know what we're reading if you're interested in knowing what we're up to. Yeah, we'd love to have you there.
Yeah.
We like fans.
And speaking of knowing what you're up to, check this out. Segue much.
Wow.
The book we're going to talk about today. So it's also a book, sort of like last time, it's a book that came out a while ago. I think it's at least 10 years on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because... Well, over 10 years, because it's published in 2020. And this is Match from the Match... 2010. Oh, I don't know where I just said that from. But 2010. And this is Match from the Match series. It's a trilogy by Ali Condi. And this... So it came out, I think, just last year. They were doing a 10-year anniversary for it. So that's when I was sort of like, I don't know if this is really my thing, but let's go check out what we're anniversarizing in the YA world. Uh-huh. So Cassia lives in a world... that is ruled by the society. Bum, bum, bum. And the society decides everything. Where you work, where you live, what you can eat, what your level of exercise can be. Everything is monitored and everything is watched. And the big thing about why it's called matched is because when you reach a certain age, you are matched. As long as you agree that you're going to get married, because you could decide that you're going to be single. But you are matched with your perfect match. According to, you know, all the things we know about you and all your statistics, whatever, you're matched with your perfect match. So you have a big matched banquet, and that's when they reveal who your matched person is. And even, like, the courting that goes on afterwards is all very regulated, right? First, you have your online conversation, then your in-person conversation. There's always an official there. Now, Cassia actually gets matched with, like, her best friend, which is unusual that someone you know is who you're being matched with, right? But then there ends up being, like... You get this chip with all the information on it, and as she's looking at it, there's this like little blip, and all of a sudden another face appears. Bum, bum, bum. Which seems to indicate that the perfect society is not so perfect after all.
Ooh, oh. Very nicely summarized, Elt.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah.
Now, our ratings, pearl clutching ratings, violence is a 2, language 0.
Woo-hoo!
Good job. Good job. Romance is a 2, even though it's very boy obsessive. But... they don't really go past lots of kissing.
Yes.
Not even lots of kissing. There's more just like big kiss moments, right? There's just like the one big kiss.
Right. Because everything's being watched and they're not allowed to. So they only have one kiss.
So romance is only a 2. even though it is very like boy crazy. So the thing is, like, even though they kind of buy into the fact that society can guide you in your perfect life, what they're trying, why Cassia kind of starts thinking twice about it, she's sort of inspired by her grandfather, starts thinking twice about it, is because you don't have choice. They took away choice. So you have the chance of having a perfect life, but the perfect life that's being dictated to you versus a life that may or may not be perfect, but it's one that you chose. Now, it's also interesting because the society doesn't, it's not the entire globe. So even though I think it's considered like a dystopian romance, the society rules X amount of land, but it seems like, you know, there's the outer lands, there's countries that are beyond that are not ruled by the society. It seems to be very much like, aren't we so lucky to live in the society because life is so perfect in the society?
Yes. Yeah, they don't really know. And we don't really know, at least not from the first book. We haven't yet read the second two, though. I plan to, because I actually enjoyed this book. But we don't really know what the rest of the world looks like. We know that there are outer lands and that there's farms. And then there's outer lands where there's some fighting against the society. Otherwise, we only really know what's going on in this very limited area.
Right.
The big theme, as Elt mentioned, is between choice, which includes risk, versus safety and comfort. I think the reason I like this book so much, it is not necessarily revolutionary in terms of young adult dystopian romances. It fits pretty neatly into that category. But I thought the conversation about safety and comfort versus risk and choice was really pertinent to today. And we don't talk about this kind of stuff too much, so I won't get into it too deeply. But we are living in times where people have the choice between safety, and perhaps our officials and our leaders are promoting safety, staying at home, wearing masks, keeping 6 feet apart, not continuing our normal lives, as opposed to giving us the choice to take risks. And Cassia actually mentions several times in the book, she says that choice is dangerous. And in this society, they have been trained that choosing things and freedom is dangerous because it can lead to results that are unpredicted. Because everything in the society is predicted. And that's why the matches are, like, everything's based on probability and numbers, and nothing is left to chance or to human failing. Everything is done by machines and very specific algorithms and calculations, but there's no room left for humanity in this world. We mentioned that the society chooses where you live, what job you have, who you marry, not just what you eat, but what time of day you eat. People don't own, they don't really own much. They own the clothing that they wear and pajamas, but like that's pretty much it. People don't have jewelry or makeup or toys or books or anything like that. The society, once it went from the before times to now, got rid of pretty much all art except for 100 songs, 100 poems, 100 books, just 100 of each thing that they decided should still be carried into the present. And that's what people learn in school. But it's just, it's a very regulated, even the plants, I remember there are roses, they're called new roses. They don't really smell like much, but they're more efficient. Every plant is only planted if it can be food or fuel. Nothing. There's no beauty for beauty's sake. There's no art for art's sake. It's just very totalitarian. Right. And it's, I just felt
very totalitarian
in some ways that it was more relevant. So we've talked about Scythe and we've talked about Unwind. We've talked about other dystopian novels on Oh My Word. And I thought that Matched in a way was more relatable because there wasn't really any very crazy technology. Like in Scythe, there's immortality. You know, people are living forever. So it's so far out of what we could imagine life to be that you can't really picture yourself there. You can kind of picture yourself in a place like Matched. They live in houses.
And no one's allowed into someone else's home.
Oh, that was so interesting, wasn't it?
Yeah. Because, like, we can't disturb the balance. Like, we can't let people go into other people's homes.
Because everything is about, right below safety is probably fairness and equality. Those are the next two values that are the most important in the society. You can only
have kids up to a certain age. Because if you have kids when you're too older than that, you're not going to be peak parent anymore. Right. which is definitely not like our society where, you know, you have kids whenever you decide you're having them. So
right.
Very different.
People were allowed to own artifacts, which were just mementos from the past. For instance, Cassia had a makeup compact, but then at some point the society decides that it's not equitable, that some people have artifacts and others don't. So those are confiscated. And the interesting thing is that people give up and give in to the society willingly. The society, it's mentioned, they don't use weapons. They used to use weapons at the beginning when they were first establishing themselves, but now people are so cowed into fear with the threat of becoming an aberration, which is what happens when you do something wrong. You get an infraction and then your job choices are more limited. You're not able to be matched if you aren't already married. They might move you. And then even worse than that is an anomaly, which is someone who commits an actual legitimate crime, it seems, like someone who actually murders. So, you know, that makes sense. But those people are just killed off by this society because part of the perfect matching is not just who is best for you emotionally and that you'll gel with, but like they're trying to fix the genetic pool. So they want people together that will produce the most genetically appealing humans.
Right. And also, like, that's the 100 poems or the 100 songs is also interesting. Like, we decided we'd only need the 100 and nothing more. And even though yes. everyone can read, nobody can write because everything's done on screens. So they never teach the motion of writing, which means we've taken away, it's almost like a symbolic of taking away creativity. You can't create something, right? You can only press the buttons. Also, people live only till 80 and then right. they slowly poison the person to die, or they basically poison them because 80 is a perfect life, a full life, and you shouldn't, you don't get to live more than that because everything is very exact and controlled and monitored. Even their dreams are monitored. Like, are their heart racing during certain things? You know, if you try to push yourself too hard over exercise of what we deem too much for you, then everything starts beeping. Very, very, very controlled. But at the same time, we give you a perfect life. So that is, it is the comfort and the risk and the sort of trade-off, but it's also we can give you the perfect life, or you can have the life that may not be perfect, but the life that you choose, which is also represented by the two boys that she's kind of torn between. Because I remember I once asked, I think it was Sonali Dev who I interviewed many, many moons back. So you'll have to go back to the bonus episodes to see that. Or maybe it was somebody else who I asked it to, that I said, what's up with the love triangles mm-hmm. in YA? Which actually, YA has moved away from it. You don't see it as much anymore. But she was saying that the way her thought of it was, it kind of shows the two different directions a teen could go in.
Hmm.
So usually though, it's between like the dorky scholar and like the broody bad boy. That's what you see a lot. Between the two kind of people that she's torn between. But here, the two people she's torn between are actually indicative of the two kind of lives. So you stay being matched with your best friend, who's everything familiar, and he's a great guy, and like he's so, you know, mm-hmm. everybody loves him. Everyone thinks he's such a great guy. Do I stay with what I've been dictated to, or do I go with this other guy who I've actually chosen, who's also a good guy and all the good stuff and all, you know, all the things that he does, but him, I've right. actually chosen him. So it's not because one's necessarily superior to the other, but one's yeah. a choice and one's not the choice. So in this case, you actually do see, you know, it's like, okay, here's the love triangle, but it does actually show the two different paths. It
makes a point.
Yeah. And you feel bad for the best friend because he's so happy he matched with her and she's kind of like, bye.
yeah.
Yeah. But, and that was also interesting too, that they show you that this part of the perfect life is to be matched with someone and have a family, to be married and have a mm-hmm. family and have kids. That was a very interesting dynamic of the world, and a very nice, I don't want to say message, but I guess it was a nice message that they put in there about having a fulfilled life. Not that you can't, they were also single people who don't choose not to, and they also seem to have like a happy life, but it was just pushing that marriage can lead to a very fulfilling life.
Yes. Cassia's rebellion is spurred on by her grandfather, who, spoiler alert, he dies. But again, this is planned. He dies literally on his 80th birthday after a final meal together. It's all very planned and very specific. And in this compact that he gives her, there's a secret compartment that holds a poem by Dylan Thomas. And I want to just read, it doesn't have the whole poem on there. It just has an excerpt from it. And I'm going to read it because these are the words that spur on Cassia and encourage her in her rebellion. So this is by Dylan Thomas. Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the light. The wise men at their end know dark is right. Because their words had forked no lightning, they do not go gentle into that good night. And that last line, do not go gentle into that good night, is inspiring to the grandfather himself because he doesn't really get to die on his own terms. Because you die at 80, you probably can't really commit suicide. You wouldn't really have anything with which to commit suicide. And also they control you because if you commit certain crimes or infractions, then it also affects your whole family, which is how they keep people in line. But the one way that he does do a slight rebellion is that he has a swab taken of his DNA. I guess that happens to a certain number of people as they die, with the promise that if technology ever advances to a certain point that they could bring him back, he's one of the people who gets to be brought back. But he asks his son to secretly destroy his DNA because he doesn't want that. He might not get to choose exactly when he dies or how he dies or anything else about his life, but he is not going to let the society continue to make choices for him. So that's his rebellion. And then the father also rebels, though Cassia doesn't know it at first. And then Cassia decides to follow in their footsteps. And even she says they're also part of the problem because they've both worked in these jobs where they help to catalog. Her father works at libraries and they'll find old libraries and they just burn books. But not with malice in the way that, like in 1984, books are burned, or Fahrenheit 451. It's just, we don't need them. We already have 100 books. Like, what do we need these other ones for?
Yeah.
Oh gosh, there's so much in this book. Again, like I said, this one just feels so relevant today. And again, because nothing is too, there's no flying saucers or cool laser technology. It's all very real, which I think enabled me to connect to it more. Each citizen is required to carry around 3 pills. There's a green pill, a blue pill, and a red pill. The blue pill allows people to live for up to, I think, a week, as long as they have water close by, because as the society says, nature still rules. So it is possible that someone could end up in a situation where not everything has been perfectly planned and they'll need to survive. The green pill allows people to relax when they're anxious, though people are only supposed to take one a week. If they take more than one a week, the society starts to notice. And then the red pill, no one is allowed to take unless an official tells them to take it, though we do learn that the red pill is a mind-wiping pill that the officials use to control people so that if they see something that the society doesn't want them to know about, they take the red pill and forget, I think, the last 12 hours. It's just interesting to see how much the government controls these people's lives, and they go along with it because it's easier, because it's safer. And also because of the red pill, they sometimes don't even know what they could be fighting against because they don't get to see any of the bad stuff. It's wiped from their memory. So it's total control. Maybe in the other books, it explains more how the society came to be. It would be interesting to know what came before. There's a brief indication that people had too many choices, and then there was too much technology like smartphones and laptops, and people had too many choices, and that wasn't good. And also she vaguely references global warming, but only twice. We get some indication that something weird happened, but we don't really get to see how the society was built, and it would be interesting to see how they got to where they are. It's more thought-provoking, certainly, than Vampire Academy, which we reviewed last week.
Yeah.
It's almost on the level for me of Scythe or of Unwind. And we've talked about Neil Schusterman and how amazing he is. And I actually feel like Ali Condy did a similarly good job of asking her readers to think about this issue of choice and freedom and risk versus comfort and safety.
Well, I think you like the book better than I do.
Maybe.
Yeah. Well, there you go. That's matched. Game, set, matched.
Game,
there
you go. Set, matched. Very good. You're on a roll. You know, it must be this second season thing. You're all reared up and ready to go. And I'm impressed.
I try. This is what I do. Well, I don't try. I succeed.
You succeed.
But only on Sunday. Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. And again, please follow us on Instagram. We'd love to have you there. And
yeah, don't follow us in person. That's creepy.
That's why we're in a bunker. And send us a DM if you have any questions. We're happy to answer, add a comment to anything. We're here. We like to talk to people. Well, I like to talk to people. Elt manages it when she needs to.
Yeah, I send you to Emily to talk.
Yeah, that's probably how it works.
Yep.
All right, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
Cheers, peoples.
Oh My Word podcast is brought to you by the pearl clutching basement dwellers at Oh My Word. Follow us on Instagram for updates at Oh My Word podcast, or like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. For full episode notes and detail, visit eltenenbaum.com. Music is by Tim Burke. Sound is by Gabriel Yaffe. See you next time.